Hey, Bonk.
Hi.
How you doing?
Great.
What's this?
I didn't think I was trying to stop.
Do you ever plan things like that, or you just it just comes out of your face and you think about it later?
Yes.
Yeah. I do the same thing sometimes.
Most everything. For example, you just asked me, is that your foot? And I said, you are.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, we just started recording, and we've been in this room for a few minutes now, just kind of getting settled in, waiting for the dogs to settle down, and it wasn't until literally right when I did the intro, Gizmo started chewing on my big toe.
Yeah, he loves Dan's feet.
But like,
and
he
to be honest, I think Dan likes Gizmo loving his feet so much, because Dan, he might protest here, but he's never once showed any resistance to Gizmo obsessively smooching his feet.
There is a difference between not being bothered, but like not, it doesn't actively bother me. And I think it's kind of funny how weird it is.
Well,
so like,
Dan,
I don't fight it.
I feel like 90% of our conversation revolves around Gizmo's weird, obsessive foot antics, specifically with your feet.
I got a word for it.
He doesn't care about my feet. That's what's really amazing about it.
And it's also like my beard and
he just loves your body.
It's weird. He's a weird little dog. He's literally just going to town on my feet right now.
Yeah, he's got problems.
That's the way you start a podcast, talking about a dog licking my foot. Yeah, how you doing?
Fabulous. Sorry, again, it just happens. And yeah. I try to build something from the wreckage that emanates from my pie hole, but unfortunately it usually ends up with nothing. It's a fruitless endeavor, and then we're left trying to pick up the pieces and form some semblance of a decent podcast. But
we're gonna have a wave file at the end of this. You produce something, you've turned it into something.
Yeah,
it's
sure,
it's not for naught,
just like so many meals get produced into poop.
Poets here. Yes. Ow! Gizmo! Jesus Christ, buddy. He's really getting in there. Oh, man.
Hey, Gizmo, stop it. Come on. I'll scooch him.
Gizmo, little weird dog. Razor's being a good guy.
He's a good boy.
Hey, speaking of good things.
What, lay it on me. What are you talking about?
My Hero Academia.
Oh, you want to get right into it.
I mean, we talked about dogs licking feet for a while.
I feel like we could squeeze a few more minutes out of that.
What do you got? Give me
topic.
A topic.
Oh, boy.
You're right. We have a lot we could get to before my... it's a quarantine. It's a lot of video games, a lot of the same video games. We're both playing Yakuza, loving it. I'm playing Demon's Souls, loving it.
I hope to finish Yakuza this weekend, and then when Cyberpunk comes out, I could just sink my teeth into that.
You've been diving into stuff, because you got your projects for work, mm-hmm. which you've been playing quite a bit of, and then you've also got, the big, long games like Yakuza that you just trucked through. I've been doing it mostly on stream, mm-hmm. and I feel like I'm not trucking as much as you.
I truck, yes.
Yes.
That's simply what I do.
The game truck, Bonk Riker.
Yes, I am her. She is me. Yeah, it's been busy season at work, a lot of stuff going on at work, and a lot of games coming out in my non-work life, so just a lot of video game playing all the time, which probably explains why I can't speak correctly, because I'm just staring at a screen all day.
Well, they say video games, they'll rot your brains.
Yes, they rot your brains and make you shoot up schools. Do they still say that?
I don't know if...
I don't think that's not a talking point anymore. Now I think it's more you're going to be addicted and you're going to spend all your money buying loot boxes and...
Yeah. It's going to give you low T.
Yeah, it'll give you low T.
Frank Thomas has got to give you some Nugenics.
Yes, it'll give you glaucoma and stage 5 Mariner's syndrome.
Was there ever anything?
I just made that up.
Yeah, that's not medical. For legal purposes, that's not medical advice.
No, it's not. I don't think Mariner's syndrome is a thing. Or Marinara syndrome?
Well, I think I've got that because I can't get enough.
Dan loves his marinara all the time. He bathes in marinara. That's all he talks about.
How many people do you think have bathed in marinara?
Probably a lot of dogs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
because they get sprayed by a skunk, and a lot of people don't have, like, I mean, the old wives' tale is that tomatoes will get the smell of skunk out of your dog's fur. I imagine most people don't have cans of tomato laying around. They probably have a bunch of, like, old jars of Prego that they bought on sale, so they just slather their dog in marinara.
Yeah, because, like, pools of marinara don't exist, like, in nature.
No, marinara doesn't exist in nature.
What is marinara?
It's a tomato sauce.
There's a lot of things that do tomato stuff. Like, yeah. I feel like you mash up tomato and it could be like 14 different things.
Yeah, tomato's a very versatile little fruit.
Yeah.
It's on pizza pie.
I think I have eaten a tomato at times. I think I've bitten into bits of tomatoes in like a pico de gallo.
Yeah, I feel like people's impression of tomato is born from a lot of bad tomatoes. Because the truth is, tomato is some of the best fruit you can get. I mean, I think of it more as a vegetable, but whatever. It's some of the best thing you can put in your mouth if you get it during the right time. So you have to be in New Jersey, and it has to be during the summer. So be in New Jersey from the months of June through August.
Taking notes here.
And you'll find tomatoes so good that you can just take a bite straight out of them, eat them like an apple. They're so delicious. Whereas I feel like most of the tomatoes that you would find on your everyday fast food sandwich, for example, yeah, are just bad. They're like,
maybe that's what has colored my opinion of tomatoes, because I don't trust them.
They're slimy. They're flavorless.
Yeah. If I can see a tomato, mm-hmm, I'm not going to eat it. Like, I love a lot of tomato-based things, barbecue sauce and things like that. Yeah. But if I see a tomato, I'm putting that on the side, or I'm asking for it not to be on my burger or something. I think it's because I grew up just on fast food, and so that's probably my only experience with tomatoes is like the one that comes on a quarter pounder or something.
Yeah. You know? It's unfortunate, but you know, what are you going to do? You're definitely not alone there. I feel like tomatoes, like onions, are very polarizing.
Yeah, crystals. Yeah. Anywho. What?
Nothing. You're just really cute.
Oh, Christ. Speaking of cute, that's not a segue. Speaking of, let's go back. I had the one earlier that it was a really good one. I said, speaking of things that are good.
Okay, let's reverse time.
Yeah. Wow, saving me money on sound effects. Excellent. Here we go. My Hero Academia Season 4, Part 2 in terms of the podcast. We're doing 3 episodes about this season.
Yes, that's episodes 73 through 79, or...
Yep, 73 through... I think you're right. I think you got it. 73 through 79, the way they're labeled on the Hulu. Mm-hmm. If you're going by just the season, it is episodes 10 to 16. That is 7 episodes.
And this is Season 4, Part 2 of our series on Season 4.
Yeah, there was a sale on hyphens. We're just going nuts here. So, that is this. It is the middle part here. That is this. That is now. Yes.
This is beans.
It's fun to say them.
It's fun to hear them.
God, this is just going to be an indecipherable podcast.
If this is your first episode of Panning the Stream that you're ever listening to,
it's a weird choice.
Of all, I could have said that more elegantly. First of all, where have you been, man?
And why did you choose to hop in the middle of a multiple podcast arc?
And second of all, I'm sorry.
Hey, look, we're veterans of this thing now. This is episode 130 something. You know what? I'll start talking about the anime. You want to talk about the anime?
Let's do it.
My Hero Academia. Mm. You got your Dekus. You got your All Mights. You got some new guys this season. We've talked about Night Eye and stuff, which we'll talk about some more here. But we kind of stopped last time in the middle of this raid on the Yakuza, speaking of Yakuza, headquarters with Chisaki, also known as Overhaul. Overhaul is his quirk.
Yes.
Interesting
quirk. Very, one of those quirks that's just like, you got born with that quirk, you're going to be a bad guy. There's no two ways around it. You make people explode. You reconstruct matter into other things.
But he can also, like, it's kind of a versatile one, because he can just kind of like break down like an injury and then make it not an injury and stuff, right?
Yeah,
like,
he's... apparently what we learn is he just keeps repeatedly killing this Eerie girl, Eerie, and just reconstructing her whenever she's bad. Imagine every time you do something bad, you just explode, and then you're brought back to life, and you're a lesser version of what you were.
It's like Explosion Man on Xbox Live Arcade. It's exactly like that.
Yeah, it's exactly like Explosion Man.
That's what everyone says about this part of Season 4 of My Hero Academia. But I really do like Chisaki as a villain. I think he's interesting, like him with the, like, they go into the Yakuza background a little bit. And he's just kind of different than the usual. Like, I like the League of Villains just fine.
Yeah.
And actually, this season does add a lot of stuff to the League of Villains, I think.
Yeah. The thing about Chisaki and the Shiei Hisaikai is that, unlike the League of Villains, I feel like League of Villains is just like kind of this nebulous, just evil group, and their motivations are unclear. It's just like, oh, we're just evil, so we want to kill all the heroes.
Were they following Stain?
They were well, somewhat. It seemed like more they wanted to kind of, you know, fill the void that All for One left behind.
Right.
Which was just, you know, and even Stain's kind of doctrine was a little like, all right, that sounds nice on paper, but what does that mean in practice?
What
kind
was
of thing.
His deal again, Stain?
He had a strict code. He thought like all heroes weren't really heroes. Except, you know, I think if I remember correctly, he either really liked or really hated All Might.
Yeah, I don't really remember. I should look back because I remember he was a really big deal. And
he was
dead?
Yeah, I think he's dead. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, so Chisaki, like, this is the one thing that bothered me a little bit about him. He seems to have contradictory motivations because at one point he talks about wanting to, like, you know, purify the world, return the world to its original form, you know, pre-Quirk. And then another time he's talking about his, like, business plans with the Yakuza as being like, okay, we can create a marketplace here by creating these bullets that disable people's quirks and then also creating the serum that will bring the quirks back. So
it's selling the poison and the cure, basically. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So it's like, all right, does he want money or does he want to purify the world?
I kind of wondered if, like, he was trying to appeal to, like, his boss and the Yakuza with the business side of things, mm-hmm. where it's like, oh, here's what we'll do. Whereas maybe his true motivations were, like, he actually wants to get rid of
sure.
quirks and stuff like that.
That could very well be the case, but they didn't articulate that well enough.
But it's a cool concept of just like harvesting this blood into mm-hmm. bullets and taking quirks away. Like, what a cool thing. And it suddenly makes guns that are normally is just such a threat in media, but not really with superheroes involved. Right. But now all of a sudden, if it's got those bullets in it, it's a huge danger.
Right.
To the
and it also kind of like, it's not only this threat of like the reign of evil, the supreme reign of evil, but also it would kind of like impose this existential crisis upon all the heroes that like, okay, what am I if I don't have my quirk?
Right. That is the thing that defines them from their whole life.
Yeah. They're so hung up on that, and that's their whole identity.
Yeah.
Like how some people's identities are just, like, bad opinions on certain things, which, you know what I mean?
Like, anybody who just, like, throws their entire identity into, like, one category.
Yeah, like, I have one opinion, and this is my whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's my entire life is that I am a comic book fan, you know? It's just like, well, have other stuff.
And it's not even, like, fine, be a comic book fan, let that be your thing, but, like, it's just, like, one specific opinion, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I am the blank comic book fan.
Yeah, or like, I think that the Hunger Games adaptations are a crime, and
yeah,
this
or something
is everything I'm going to talk about forever.
I have a very strong opinion about this thing in Star Wars, you know,
yeah,
and that's
yeah.
my whole. I got a whole YouTube channel about this.
I'm going to talk about that all the time.
Yep.
So yeah. Sorry if you're one of those people, but come on, broaden your horizons a little bit.
Whoa. So we got Chisaki and the Yukazu. Yukazu. The Yukazu?
The roving band of kazoo players.
You, kazoo.
That's all right, sir.
That's the kazoo. That's the kazoo hero. His quirk is that his head is a kazoo. It's you, kazoo. Yeah, you hyphen. Yeah. That's not that far-fetched for this show.
Yeah, I like that.
It starts out with, like, so they just had this big-ass fight. Lots of fighting going on where we left off.
Different fights, too. Like, a whole group of heroes versus this whole group of villains, and they're kind of splintered off and doing different fights.
Yeah, and I really thought this was like a backstage vignette of, like, they're hanging out in the medical room, mm-hmm. a few of them are.
Yeah.
It's Kirishima and Fat Gum, and then, like, the two, like, henchman dudes.
Right,
and
the two guys that were, like, fists and then defense.
Yeah, it's like at the beginning of Rocky 2 where like Rocky and Apollo are both in the hospital and they're both just like beat the fuck up and talking to each other like, man, yeah, we really just beat the shit out of each other, right?
Yeah.
Totally. It's almost like that respect thing, you know? So I love that. And then we see another fight going on. Rappa, who I think is like the big like kind of fish henchman dude or whatever.
Right.
It kind of looks like a gang beast whale or whatever.
I look
gang
like orca. A fish.
Yes, that's his catchphrase. Everyone knows. Night Eye just kicks his ass.
Yeah.
And like I love... It's just such a cheap pop, but like I love it when a character who's just like, I'm a button-up nerd guy. I'm all about the analytics and I look into the future. And then it's just like, oh, he's also shredded and will kick your ass.
Right.
And he's using his little stamps as like support things, right? He said he uses them as support items.
Yeah,
and
they look like they weigh 1,000 pounds. They just like pin you to the ground.
Yeah, I love that because like he has that quirk, which is a very useful and important quirk, but also he'll kick your ass.
You know what I didn't realize until this arc is... that the heroes are working at such a huge disadvantage because they can't kill the villains, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, it's the Batman thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So that blows.
Well, and also they've got the obvious villains of the season, the Yakuza, but also you've got the League of Villains that are involved, but it's kind of unclear what their deal is here, because they're kind of at odds with the Yakuza as well. And we see that here because they show a flashback where, I guess, Chisaki had borrowed Toga and Twice. Toga mm-hmm. is the girl that, like, the blood stab girl that kind of, mm-hmm. like, mimics other people. And Twice is the guy who mimics stuff. And so in the flashback, we see Shigaraki talking to them and being like, hey, you guys play along, act like they can borrow you,
right.
but then we're going to turn on them. So, you know, we're basically going to, yeah, just stab them in the back. And so they do that where they're mocking the bad guy mimic, the Yakuza mimic guy who, like, lives in the walls and, right. like, warped all this stuff, specifically to get him pissed off to, like, open up and all of them can go down, like, into the core, basically, uh-huh. the headquarters. Which, at some point, wasn't, like, a truth serum was involved here, right?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I was a little confused about that part because it wasn't a truth serum. It was one of Chisaki's henchmen has this,
Nemoto.
Like, confession ability.
Right,
yeah.
Nemoto. So it basically effectively, like, a truth serum.
Exactly.
So was it them basically, it wasn't intentionally them pissing off the mimic to get to the center? Was it them just, like, they had to speak honestly?
I don't know if it was them, like, just kind of, yeah, like, not, it wasn't an outright backstab as much as it was just kind of, like, provoking this guy.
Or maybe revealing the plans early.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah,
and I like that guy that just, like, lives in the walls, and sometimes there's a face on the walls, and it's just, he's a weird, he turns into, like, a little plague mask guy at times. Sometimes he's, like, a big dude.
Yeah, when he's in tiny plague mask form, I feel like he's such a cutie pie, but then when he gets big and looks like a person, it's, like, disappointing.
He's very dangerous.
But, yeah, they have that stuff that makes their quirk way more powerful, so he's able to consume the whole wall, like turn into the whole wall and manipulate everything so it looks like everyone's on some crazy, you know, hallucinogenic.
Yeah.
And the whole hallway is wiggling around like crazy. And then so he because he's in living the walls, he hears everything they say and he hears Toga talking shit. And he gets super pissed, and their plan works.
Yep. And so basically, we got two League of Villains, folks. You got Twice and Toga, and then it's Aizawa and Deku, right? Or no, it's Aizawa and... Is it Deku that goes down there?
Deku and Aizawa are
Deku
together.
And Aizawa fall in. So they're all going down there together. And it's kind of clear now that, like, everyone is against Chisaki mm-hmm. and the Yakuza. We meet a couple other folks. So there's Sakaki, whose quirk is sloshed and basically makes you drunk.
Yeah.
And then Nemoto's the confession guy. But it's around here that we learn that Eri is not actually Chisaki's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what was the story there? She's the granddaughter of someone?
Yeah, so it was the Yakuza chairman or whatever they call
the
boss.
Like in a coma?
Yeah, his daughter's daughter. And his daughter's partner just, like, abandoned them, I guess, or, you know, got killed.
So Chisaki, like, raised her?
Yeah, but, you know, they didn't say this outright. They didn't say this at all, actually. But I was wondering if maybe Chisaki really is the father, because if you think about it, like, they say that her quirk is super rare and it's passed down. And, like, her and Chisaki have that same, like, really rare gene. And he comes into the picture right after this guy dies and, like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
It just seems a little too neat and perfect. But
yeah, yeah. I mean, what a just horrific bad guy plot, like you talked about earlier. Like, just, like, harvesting her for her blood, this
yeah.
child that's, like, obviously just traumatized. It was just, like, growing a horn. Like,
absolutely. If you are to, like, kind of empathize with any of his motivations, it's completely undone by the fact that he's just being so mercilessly cruel to this little girl.
Yeah, this very, very poor, innocent girl.
Even
yeah.
though he claims that she's cursed, but the reality is she just hasn't been trained to use her quirk properly.
Yeah, which, oh, we're going to get into some cool stuff
oh,
on that.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Oh, man, this is a hell of a scene here. So they're confronting Chisaki, who is just very evil. He's at peak evil during all this. And Mirio gets shot with one of those darts
right.
and loses his quirk, which later on Chisaki will say it's gone forever. So Mirio, like, loses his thing,
mm-hmm.
which permeation, right? He can, like, mm-hmm. sink into things and stuff.
I mean, it's kind of significant because he was one of, like, the top students at UA.
Yeah. He could have been the heir apparent to All Might
yeah, yeah.
in a different world.
But he still has his unrelenting enthusiasm.
I love that. I love so much. Like, there are some really good Mirio moments here. It's awesome when he loses the quirk, but he's still so adamantly mm-hmm. fighting for Eri. And, like, right. he's just a mortal, basically. Right. He's just a dude at this point. And he's fighting his ass off. And, like, it's brutal. He's getting, like, stabbed through with these ground spikes and stuff that Chisuke's throwing at him. This whole part's really cool. Like, they do awesome things with Chisuke's power, where he's just, like, manipulating the environment and sending, mm-hmm. like, concrete spikes everywhere. It's just a fucking cool show.
It's
like,
super neat.
It is so clever. Like, I feel like superpowers and stuff have been done to death for forever. And it really hasn't been for us. We've talked about it a million times. But, like, so much of this show, I'm just, like, so into all these incredibly clever powers. And, like, but they're not all, like, silly gimmick things. Like, you still have, like, here's the fire guy. Here's right. the ice guy, you know? And, like, that yeah. works, too.
And it's always cool to see just, like, the... just how powerful these some of these quirks can be. Obviously, some are way more powerful than others. But, like, in the case of Overhaul, we knew that his quirk was devastating, but its true capabilities are just insane. I mean, I assume he's also using that, you know, that quirk juice.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's wild.
It just gets crazier and crazier over these episodes here, because he eventually, at the beginning of the next episode, starts looking way more fucked up. He's got mm-hmm. these, like, black veins in his face, and, like, arms are growing out and stuff. He's morphing, so he's basically using his quirk to deconstruct, like his underlings
right.
and meld with them.
You remember the Lego movie that we watched?
Yeah, yeah.
And there was the main, like, female Lego character. She would just quickly create things out of, like,
yeah,
yeah, little blocks just laying around. It's kind of like that. Like, he just takes whatever's around him and just constructs it.
Yeah, it's like,
it.
You, okay, you're part of me now. And, yeah. and he's just, like, slowly, like, leveling up. It, mm-hmm. It's totally like a final boss form type thing where it's like, okay, you know, it's... I feel like Dragon Ball did some of this. Like, remember Frieza had, like, a million different forms? But
I'm sorry, who?
Frieza, I'm sorry, yes. I feel like this does it better, though.
I mean, no offense, Dragon Ball. I know that it holds a place in a lot of people's hearts, but, like, this is just such a much more mature show.
It's on a different level.
Yeah, on a different level.
Yeah, and, like, he's looking more evil and fucked up and mutated. And at a certain point here, he is, like, full-on, like, a Resident Evil 4 or 5 mutation where it's like, oh, the priest guy got the T-virus and now he's just like the guy at the end of Resident Evil 4. And it's like, oh, that doesn't even look like a human anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, it's awesome. So, yeah, there's another guy, Chrono. He has chronostasis and makes people go super slow. And he kind of, like, freezes Eraserhead and starts, like, harvesting mm-hmm. his quirk. Which is, it's just, this whole group is real creepy and weird with, like, they're just, like, breaking down heroes and trying to harvest them.
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
Yeah. It's a neat idea, though.
Yeah.
Like, using people's, not even taking advantage of certain people's specific powers, but just, like, literally harvesting quirks and
yeah,
taking
let's
away...
get this for the science of this, yeah, and, like, yeah. it's fucked up. But yeah, Night Eye is trying to hold off Chisuke and says to Deku, like, hey, get Mirio and Eri out of here. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to protect them. Get them the hell out of here. And Night Eye just gets... fucked up.
Oh, yeah. He's impaled by one of those spikes.
Yeah. And not just like Mirio got some spikes through him and is clearly in a ton of pain. But this is just like Mortal Kombat pit fatality. Mm-hmm. Like, this is just right through your chest.
Yeah. And his arm gets like blown off. It's not good.
And it's a really kind of dark, ominous thing here. Like, when he's about to die, he does look into the future. He's always too afraid to look too far into the future or anything, but I think he senses he's dying. And he's trying to see a future where Eri is brought to safety. And it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. It's just like he sees a world where, like, they failed, they died, you know. The world is fucked.
Right.
Basically. Awesome stuff. So we learn a little bit about Eri's quirk here. And it's rewind. And not in the way of, like, rewinding time, as it's traditionally shown. But more that, like, rewinding human evolution.
Mm-hmm.
Which means, like, if you went far enough, I think they even showed, like, an example of, like, oh, you could go back through, like, eons until you're, like, a tadpole, basically.
Right.
But in this context, it's quirks. So she can rewind a certain amount to, like, nullify a quirk. It's hard to describe, really.
Mm-hmm.
But the show makes it pretty clear what she does. And,
right.
like, she's the reason. It's that power that's why the bullets are possible.
Yeah. And she... Deku is able to take advantage of this quirk and use it to his advantage so that he can just unleash all hell on Chisuke.
And the explanation is so cool because we've already well established that using One for All is incredibly damaging to his body. Mm-hmm. That's one of the first things they established about One for All. And so it's basically like he attaches her to his back and it's like a healer in Team Fortress right. following you around. It's just like, yeah, even if you're getting shot, you're just tanking all these, you know, shots and everything, but you've got someone just constantly with that heal beam on you.
Right.
It's such a cool fucking idea that he can go 100%, which every time we've seen it before, it's like 5% or 10% will still kick mm-hmm. something's ass. And so he's just like, well, screw it. With her, I'm going to go 100%.
Right. And we finally see what that looks like, which is insane.
Pretty weak. It's pretty weak, I'd say. Doesn't
literally, the whole sky is just a giant, like 1,000 fists.
Giant flaming space fists, like covering, blanketing the sky. After he like, it's like a Devil May Cry combo where he like does 100% full cowling kick Chisuke into space. Mm-hmm. Just like, pew! Just flies off into the distance.
It just shatters his, like rips his body apart.
Yeah, and then he flies up and hits him down with a giant sky flaming fist. And there's just a shot that like I rarely when watching something will like exclaim out loud or something like, holy shit. But there's the shot where first of all the fist had my jaw open.
Yeah.
And then when it shows Chisuke like selling it,
yeah.
It's just like parts of his body are just like rapid fire just falling off in the sky. And it's like, oh my fucking god, this is cool.
Yeah, and that's pretty much the nail in Chisuke's coffin. He looks like he's pretty much dead at that point.
He's just decimated. Yeah. It's amazing. That's a top three moment in the show for mm-hmm. me, I think. Like, it's like that and the one for all mm-hmm. for one fight. Like, it's, oh, this show. Holy hell.
It doesn't overdo it with that. That's the thing that, like, you know, for comparing to Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball was always like, all right, well, was it Vegeta that destroyed the moon? Or... Piccolo destroyed the moon. There's no way they could get any stronger than this.
Yeah,
and they just keep upping the ante. This is like they're so careful about like when they use those moments to like show full power.
Yeah, and it's all where they're literally blowing up planets and stuff and galaxies and shit in Dragon Ball, which is pretty awesome in its own right. This one, it does feel like it's all kind of just around the country. It's not like a big the world's not going to blow up. Galaxies.
But the fact that it's so like tempered with its use of that, like it doesn't overdo it because at a certain point with Dragon Ball, I was like, all right, well, I guess they're doing this now. They get so strong that you're just unfazed by what they're doing. Whereas because it's like so conservative with it in My Hero, when mm-hmm. it does have those moments, it's completely jaw-dropping.
Yeah, we're four seasons in and we're talking about this powerful thing that is like the most powerful thing we've seen. And mm-hmm. it doesn't have to explain it with like, it doesn't have to get bigger and bigger about universes and all this stuff. But there's this shot. It's basically the Super Saiyan thing where it's like mm-hmm. when he's like winding up the punch, you just see like there's this shadow over mm-hmm. his face and you can see it kind of come into the light. And then when he's back on the ground, he's got Aerie on his back and the hair is kind of like floating up. And it really is kind of like that Super Saiyan moment. Oh my. Sorry, I'm getting choked up. I'm actually burping. Highlight of the show.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And actually, as we went into this next episode, we found out that at least on Hulu, the dubs ended. So I guess we are subs people for the rest of the season.
And we're going to really be on our high horse about it.
We're going to have a pending. You check out our new YouTube channel where we yell at people for liking dubs. We did listen to the subs and for the rest of these episodes. And they're good. They're really good. Mm-hmm. It's kind of cool, too, because they show the preview or they show at the beginning of some episodes what happened previously. It's the Rocky thing. You see the Drago fight at the beginning of Rocky V. But anyway, you get to see that incredibly climactic thing with the Japanese voices, which mm-hmm. is a pretty cool introduction to it, you know. We find out it's a different future than what Night Eye saw.
Right. He's able to change the future.
Yeah. Which has major implications for All Might because mm-hmm. he saw that All Might was going to have this like brutal death, which I got to wonder like what Night Eye saw. And I would have to imagine we're going to see that either in a flashback at some point or maybe it actually happens going forward. Yeah. We don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, now we know that like Nighteye isn't 100%.
Right.
You know, which he's not 100% health.
No,
we'll get to that. But I really liked it in the aftermath of this while everything's kind of like getting picked up, like all the pieces are getting picked up, because it's like Deku just steps up when he needs to.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much doubt.
I mean, he just demonstrates that he is kind of capable of filling All Might's shoes. Maybe not right now, but he will get there.
He's got it in him, yeah, for sure, that like this is a massive thing he did and saved a ton of people.
All he had to do was swallow All Might's hair.
You just have to swallow hair and then train on the beach for a while and you're good to go. The sky will rain with your fists. Then we get like kind of a little kind of side thing here just to kind of close off the Chikazi, I'm sure I'm saying it wrong. The overhaul arc here, which the League of Villains are basically transporting his body, which is, he's alive.
Well, the law enforcement is transporting his body.
Law enforcement's transporting it. It's very much Solidus's body in Metal Gear Solid 4. I'm sorry, Big Boss's body. No spoilers. And the League of Villains basically takes it over, and they're like hopping on top of the police van. I love a good highway chase. I love a good heist type thing.
Yeah.
So
they take the bullets off of.
Yes.
Shisuke, yeah.
They do, and there's a whole thing with like cops chasing him, kind of little Matrix 2 highway battle going on, and then they just fucking cut off his hands.
Yeah.
That's his quirk. He has to touch stuff with his hands.
I can't do that anymore.
Can't believe no one thought of that before. Just cut off his damn hands.
I was also reminded of how creepy Tamura's quirk is, that he could just make things decay.
Yeah, where he just touches it and you see that it's like instant cracking.
Yeah,
and yeah, it's awesome. which I think this scene and everything was really cool for the League of Villains. Because, I mean, Tamura's even just like, oh, we can just reap all the benefits of what they did. And it's like, oh, wow, they were kind of opportunistic here.
Yeah,
it worked, you
know?
Like, they're not just bumbling idiots.
No. Yeah, totally. Yeah, they were able to, they probably knew the heroes would, you know, be victorious and they would be able to run in there.
Pieces,
yeah,
and
exactly.
Yeah, yeah. It's very effective. It really, really helped put them over strong. Nighteye dying at the end of this episode. Really good emotional moment. It's Mirio crying profusely.
Mm-hmm.
All Might and Deku all at the bedside. Just, you know, it just makes me think about, like, how good this show is at so many different things, from, like, super high action to drama and to genuine, like, emotional stuff with these characters that I actually really care about,
right,
to humor, which we'll talk about in an episode later, that I was laughing out loud through most of it. Like, it is just a fucking killer show.
It's great. It just does everything that it wants to do right, and there's so much variety in there.
And I'm just so impressed all the time. We're just like, man, this is so unique and funny.
Yeah,
and
sometimes the animation is just incredible,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and it'll like do totally different like styles of animation just for like a shot, uh-huh, and it'll be really effective sometimes. It's just, it's one of my favorite shows of all time. we got a couple more here that are kind of like, seem like transitional episodes. First of all, the new theme kicks ass.
It's good.
It's,
yeah,
really good.
Nothing really compares to that first season theme, but
no,
it's definitely the best one since then.
Yeah, yeah, it's super good. It's kind of poppy and lighthearted.
Yeah, and the visual elements are very much like suggest that the focus of the remainder of the season will be on the students, which I'm looking forward to.
Which we've liked those, like, because they do the big bad guy stuff where things are at stake, but then they also do the like the sports festival. It's, mm-hmm, one of my all time favorite
arcs. Those.
Yeah. It just balances everything so well. So we meet something that's probably going to become a big deal. The heroes, like Gran Torino and those guys, are apprehending the Warp Gate guy, mm-hmm, Kurogiri, in the woods. And they run into Gigantomachia, All For One's servant, who is a giant rock man with a boombox? What's your takeaway on that guy?
He seems like a big old kind of like, I don't know, scary rock guy.
Yes. Astute observation. So, yeah, I think this episode, they just kind of show him like, hey, just know that this dude's just kind of lurking around.
Right. And
you know?
He isn't easy to, like, coax out of hiding.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's very noticeable.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
I'm very curious what the deal is with him. They've planted the seed with him.
Right.
There's a part where they see Mirio in the hospital recovering from his injuries, who, as far as we can tell, still quirkless. You know,
yeah.
I'm wondering if they're going to reverse this somehow. Because when they taught us about Ares' rewind power, I was like, oh, they're just going to instantly nullify everything. Like, Mirio's going to have his quirk back. Nighteye's going to be alive. But Nighteye died.
Yeah.
We haven't seen yet that Mirio gets his quirk back. So, like, I don't think they're going to do that. What's the word I'm looking for?
Permanently?
And it's kind of something that cheapens it, you know, by like, oh, well, yeah, we took it back.
I hope not, because I feel like then moving forward, every kind of skirmish that the heroes encounter with evil people has that much, it feels that much more consequential. If like, okay, what goes on in these has real consequences.
Yeah, if you see something die or someone lose a quirk, it's probably for real, you know. Which, again, the show doesn't really fake you out much. The show, there are consequences in the show. But yeah, I love Mario working out in his hospital bed, just like smiling, even though he's basically in a body cast. Like, oh, hey, what's up, Deku? And then Cammy and Yarashi, who, they were from a different school, right?
Yeah.
We met them way back when in like season two, I want to say.
I think during like the provisional hero exam.
Right, right. Yarashi is the like whirlwind guy, and Cammy is the like, she's another one of those like kind of like just mimicking things. Like I feel like there's a few, like Toga mimics through the blood.
Yeah, twice.
Mimic can mimic like anything really. Twice. Yeah, twice does that. And Cammy kind of. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's a few that have like different takes.
And then
that.
There's the mimic guy from Chihaya Sakai.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, Cammy's basically got that. And they're here. Then it goes into the last one we watched here. Oh, this is a fun one. This was stupid as hell. Like, the serious thing that happens here is kind of a cool, like, Endeavor and All Might sitting in the bleachers of this gymnasium talking about what it means to be, like, the hero and the symbol.
Right.
You know? So it's like, and it shows the different motivations. Like, Endeavor just wants power. All Might actually, like, did want to help people. You know?
Right. And Endeavor's kind of feeling the pressure of being the new number one hero as, like, you know, despite his greatest efforts, the crime rates are going up. And
yeah.
Because even though he's technically the number one hero, All Might was more than just that. He was the symbol of peace. And without that, I guess, you know, it's society is feeling it. So.
Yeah. And that's why even though Endeavor is number one now, like they both walk into the gym and everyone's just like, oh, my God, it's All Might. Right. All Might's here. Oh, yeah. What the hell is Endeavor doing here? You know?
Yeah. I remember when they were so protective of All Might's true form. And now everyone's just like, oh, it's All Might.
That's his only form now. Although I like how he'll occasionally inflate for like one where like, hi. And then, you know, it always makes me laugh. Because the art style is so different.
Yeah, it's so great.
Oh, he's just an incredible character. But there's Gang Orca shows up again here, and he's kind of in a teacher role. There's a great part where he keeps calling them turds and screaming disciplinary action and, like, swatting them away. It happens, like, three times. He just keeps calling them turds, which really made me laugh. But the goal is to win the hearts of children from the Misagi Elementary School.
Right, and this is a group of troubling kids, or... I don't know. I wouldn't say that. Maybe they're just
unruly
kids, hard to control. The teacher is just totally overwhelmed and unequipped to handle them.
And, just crying all the time.
Yeah, and they use their quirks pretty liberally.
They do, and they're also little bratty kids that think that their quirks are, you know, more powerful than the older ones. So they're just being hilarious, like just little shits. Like they're going up to Todoroki, and he has like a little what is this thing on a keychain or whatever.
I think he said they were for like, it was like a first aid kind of thing.
Yeah, something like that. And he's like, "Is this your wee wee? Oh, you have five votes, five wee wees." And Todoroki. He's like, I don't have five wee-wees. Like, it's just hilarious. And also, present Mike just can't fight the urge to do commentary over this. Like, he was just sitting in the crowd. He's like, I gotta be behind the desk. And he's just screaming. And his Japanese voice is great.
Right.
It's just so over the top. And then Bakugo is just a dick. And he's like, well, the way you fix this is you just gotta hang up the main kid, the alpha child, and everyone throws rocks at him.
Right. Like, that's, yeah.
But yeah, just overall a just super, super funny episode and looking forward to seeing where that goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it seems like we're definitely in a transition right now in season four, as these seasons typically do with their arcs and whatnot. I understand that is typical of manga and anime. Yes. Great stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's good that they know not to, you know, overstay the welcome with a certain group of villains or whatever. They keep it nice and succinct. And then when you least expect it, they come back around the corner.
Yeah, which, you know, not to bring it back to Dragon Ball again and comparisons there, but, like, I think, like, we even watched the shorter version of Dragon Ball, Kai, and even some of that stuff is like, oh, my God, how many episodes are we going to be dealing with villain X?
Right.
Where this is like, I don't really feel that about this show. I'm rarely like, all right, I get it.
Yeah,
you know?
This is really good storytelling.
Yeah. So that'll be it for episodes 10 through 16 of the season, which again is 73 through 79 if you're watching on Hulu. And we will finish up season 4 with next week's Panning the Stream.
Yeah.
But before we go, We want to thank all of our patrons there at patreon.com/paintingthestream. You get a bunch of fun little things for your $5 a month. It's real simple. It's just the one $5 a month. That's the only option we do.
That's it.
That gets you the ad-free episodes.
Whoa.
That gets you the episode a day early every time. It gets you access to the Discord. Fun time in there.
Holy smokes.
Great, great community in there. Even if Jeff Grubb joined recently and he's, look, that's a whole thing. But most importantly, you get for you, written for you by Bonk, a Bonku.
That's correct, Daniel.
Bonk, do we have someone this week?
We sure do.
Who do we got?
Well, I don't know this person's shoot name. I know him only as, or her, I Shall Rise Again.
Oh, again.
So, I Shall Rise Again. This Bonku is for you. The ground below shook. I shall rise again, he said, and the sky turned red.
Whoa. Man, you rarely get to incorporate a name. That,
I know. Whenever people don't give me their real name and they give me their username, I'm just like, my hope is that it's always at least under seven syllables. So I can.
It's not just 40 numbers.
Yeah.
Barfy Man 3000. So yeah, thank you very much. I Shall Rise
that
Again.
That would work better.
That's really easier. Yeah, I just like saying Barfy Man 3000.
Why?
It's from a Norm thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, when he's talking about comments on his YouTube. It's when he's on the YouTube red carpet and he's like, oh, you don't care about what Barfy Man 3000 has to say? but yes, thank you so much. I Shall Rise Again. And I've got a Hugue card in my hand, Bonk.
Hugue game?
Yes, and usually I just read something off one of these Hugue game cards and it's apropos of nothing. Mm-hmm. But this is perhaps, I don't know how it could get more applicable to what we just talked about.
Hugue game.
Would you want to know in advance how and when you're going to die?
No.
I don't think I would either.
Yeah, why? I wouldn't want that.
Yeah, it's the exact reason why Nighteye did not want to see into the future too much, is because he got freaked out by what he saw and whether or not he could change it.
Yeah, because then it's like you're going to be worried about it and going to do everything you can to avoid that scenario, and then your whole life is going to be about it, and it's like, I'd rather not.
And it's just, it's always confusing too, because it's like, remember like Devs was all about that, which I don't want to spoil it if you haven't seen Devs, so just mute for like 20 seconds here. But like the whole thing where it's like she saw herself at the thing dying or whatever, and there's a part in the at the end of the season where she's like, well, I'm just not going to go.
Yeah.
Then that's not going to happen. And of course it winds up happening. You know? Like, yeah, it's time travel and fate and all that. I feel like we did like several episodes in a row that we didn't realize were about that concept of like quantum mechanics and fate.
Determinism.
Yeah, it was Devs, and then what was the other one we did? There was one we did like
right next to it.
Yeah, I'd have to look back. But that is our Hugue game question for the week. Thank you all for listening. We will be back next week to close out season 4 of My Hero Academia. Just one of the best. One of the best. And then we're going to have to wait for a while for season 5, which people tell me is quite good based on the manga. So thanks to Tom Monda for the theme song.
Thanks, brother.
Leave us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts for feeling so inclined.
Like, comment, subscribe.
Follow us at Pan the Stream. I think that's a thing. That's maybe a YouTube thing. Yeah, whatever. Just do all the stuff that you got to do on the internet.
Yeah.
Help us out if you want to. But yeah, thanks for listening. And we will be back next week.
Bye.
Bye.